Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 through 9. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. The word without meaning outside, obviously. And it came to pass when Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses, until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered in to the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended, and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I'm asking your help to preach it, but Lord, give us understanding. And as I many times have prayed, Lord, we would see Jesus. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I read the Old Testament, every time I read it, I see so many things. And I've got my sermon prepared. I've got the four or five little sections I want to talk about. And I'm reading it, and I see more stuff, and more stuff, more types, more symbols would have you, more revelation, if you would. Don't know how much of it I can get in. I'll try to do it. I'll try to see what I can do. But what I see is Jesus Christ. In reading this passage in the Old Testament, I see Jesus Christ. And if you're not familiar with the text or whatever, maybe you're a new Christian or maybe your church doesn't talk much about the Old Testament or whatever, you may say, well, I don't understand. Well, it's my prayer, and I've been praying all this morning and all that yesterday and all whatever last couple of weeks in preparing for this sermon, that we would see Jesus in the Old Testament. But the last time I was here in Hebrews chapter 9, we use that as a springboard to study the tabernacle. And we saw, as the writer, Paul or not, I don't know who it was, it doesn't mention the writer, but we saw that Paul took the perspective of men approaching God. And we should do that. And as an evangelist, that's what I try to do. I try to preach so that men would want to approach God. And he, in that chapter, kind of touches on a few things in the tabernacle, doesn't explain very much, doesn't mention all of it, really. I guess he mentions the tabernacle itself, but he doesn't go into detail. He doesn't mention what's out in the courtyard. He doesn't mention a whole lot of stuff. He just touches on it. But we can go to the book of Exodus, where chapter 25 through 40, God shows us the tabernacle and explains how God revealed it to Moses, told him exactly what to do. In fact, even when he was on the mountain, God showed him a picture, a pattern of the tabernacle, gave him plans, as it were, And then when he came down the mountain, God gave instructions and what have you. God helped those that built it, Bezalel and Aholiab and the others that helped them, gave them wisdom and understanding to be able to build it. But in that chapter, and again, I said this last time, but it's important. The perspective in Exodus is not men approaching God, but God coming down from heaven and then trying to reach man. Somebody said, well, I found God. I became a Christian. Yeah, but God wasn't lost. You were. Again, it's perspective. You can look from a humanistic perspective of men knowing that they're in sin, of course, being convicted by the Spirit and saying, okay, I need to start living right, or I need to go to church or whatever, and finally hearing the message correctly and repenting. And then God begins to work sanctification in his heart, and maybe he goes to Sunday school or something, and he begins to learn about God, learn how to act in church, learn how to act when he's not in church, etc. Men coming to God. But we forget that God came down to men first. It was God's plan. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. This plan existed before men even fell into sin. Again, different perspectives. I've taught the tabernacle before, and I've usually taken the perspective of men outside the camp, saying, I want to approach God. I want to come into the tabernacle, etc. This time I'm going to start in the middle, about where Paul started, looking at the tabernacle. But I want to take a look at the door of the tabernacle. And I believe that we'll see Jesus Christ. And I believe we can glorify him and acknowledge him and worship him. And after we do that, then we'll hopefully see the proper way to approach God. But he said that Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it or set it up outside of the camp. We understand there were 12 tribes. We understand that they each had their place, their appointed place, north, south, east, west, and they were supposed to be in a certain order, and etc. And that's where they lived. Again, this is in the desert coming out of the land of Egypt. They had a set order. They were supposed to be with their tribe, and etc. I mean, obviously, they could go visit or go trade or whatever, but that's where they lived, where God said for them to live. We understand that when they got into the promised land, God had a certain place for each tribe to live. God has a plan for our lives, in other words. But it says he set up or pitched the tabernacle outside of the camp, afar off from the camp. And he called it the tabernacle. And it came to pass that everyone that wanted to seek after God, everyone that wanted to become a Christian, had to go outside of his house, out of the camp, out however far it was, afar off, it said. He had to leave his comfort zone, if you will, and go. It cost him a little bit, a little journey or whatever, to get to the tabernacle. But it says that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation. If you wanted to seek God, the place to do it, the place to bring your offering, etc., the place that you could go to get prayed for or what have you, was in the tabernacle. And you had to go out. Purposely, you had to go out. I know that you should have a family altar. I understand all of that. But he's saying that you had to go out, outside the camp, to the tabernacle. But you know, as I said when I was reading the text, that just in reading it, I saw another picture of Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus was in that temple, the one in Jerusalem, for 4 days, being inspected. He was the Passover lamb. And just as Moses was directed to write, the Passover lamb was to be taken in on one day and then inspected for 4 days and then killed. And his blood spilt and what have you, that his blood put on the doorpost and lintel when they were in Egypt. He was to be inspected. Well, Jesus was inspected 4 days in the temple all these 4 days teaching. And the Pharisees had nothing to say. They found no fault with him. But then they arrested him, tried him, what have you, scourged him, what have you, and then brought him outside of the city on Golgotha's hill and crucified him. Outside of the city, afar off from the city, just like the tabernacle set outside of the camp, afar off from the camp. You understand the picture, I hope, that it's a type of Christ. Didn't see that until just now. But I want to take a look at this. And it came to pass, verse 8, when Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Moses is a type of Christ. And I guess I could chase another rabbit. We should look to Jesus. And then he went up and we're looking back at that sky saying, well, when's he coming back? And of course the angel said that, hey, don't worry, he's coming back in a cloud of glory. But the people were looking at Moses. He was the deliverer. He was the picture of Jesus Christ. And it says that in verse 9 that when Moses went into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. The cloud by day, the fire by night. And stood at the tabernacle door, and the Lord talked with Moses. Now, I don't understand the layout. I understand that I'm here in Louisiana and everything's flat. Well, you know, most of the world ain't flat, I suppose. I would imagine that they were in the desert, maybe on kind of arrayed, the whole camp was arrayed on the side of a sand dune. And everyone could look down over the 6 or however many foot fence made of the skins or whatever, look into the courtyard and see Moses was standing at the door and stepped in and the pillar came down and God communed with him there. Kind of like an amphitheater. We have one here at LSU on the campus. The stage is sunk. If you go to a movie theater, to come out you have to walk up the hill. Because the whole point is that everyone would be able to see perfectly what goes on the screen. Well, they looked at Moses. And it says the pillar of cloud from heaven came and rested right there at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. In the book of Matthew, Chapter 17, and this is familiar, I'll read it. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment or his clothes was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And, you know, Peter said, let's make 3 tabernacles. And then while Peter was flapping his gums, it says that God spoke from that cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And they, you know, fell on the ground and Jesus came and touched them and said, come on, you know, get up. And when they got up, they saw no man, it says, save Jesus only. I present to you that Moses going into the tabernacle, stepping in the door, the cloud resting there, and it says that Moses and God fellowshiped. I present that that foreshadowed the Mount of Transfiguration. We have the same idea. Moses and Elijah appeared to him, so that's a link there. And they were talking with him, just like Moses and God were talking. And all the people, it says, they were looking from their tent door, looking down, and they saw God and Moses. Moses was at the door of the tabernacle. Well, when they got up off the ground, the disciples, and they saw no man save Jesus only. The point, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, hear ye him." Again, I say that the passage in Exodus foreshadowed the Mount of Transfiguration. But going back to Exodus chapter 26, verse 1 and then verse 36, I want to read. It says, "Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet. With cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them." And in verse 36, "And thou shalt make a hanging for the door of the tent, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework." So, Moses, make the tabernacle, 10 curtains, etc., of linen, blue, purple, and scarlet, and some handiwork. And then make a door for the tent, the tabernacle, again of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen with needlework. Well, I know what linen is. Linen's a type of material, but what's blue? It's kind of strange. Well, it was dyed blue or something, I guess. But these materials and colors are symbols. We understand that Jesus came from the blue. He came from heaven. We understand that he was the King of the Jews, and purple's a royal color. We understand that he shed his scarlet blood. And we understand that if we put our trust in him, we have righteousness that he gives unto us, white linen. But Moses was standing at the door, communing with God. Here we have instructions. Moses, make a door for the tabernacle. But in John chapter 10, verse 1 through 13, I'll see how much of it I can read. But he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Jesus is speaking, "he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Door. I wonder. Well, it's telling you about Jesus Christ. He says in verse 9, "I am the door." That door that Moses stood by and God communed with him, that was a picture, something that foreshadowed Jesus Christ and symbolized him. That door at the tabernacle, Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the door." And he said, "If you want to come in, you come in by me." And he said, "If you try to enter in by any other way that you can get into the tabernacle, you're a thief and a robber." You know, it specifically says thieves don't get into heaven. You say, "What are you saying, Brother Kelly?" I'm saying that the only way to approach God is through Jesus Christ. If you want to go in, he's the door. He's not one of many doors. Well, all roads lead to heaven. No, they don't. No, they don't. And those that say that, they say, "Well, no, Jesus, I don't know what happened on the cross, but you know, forget about that. He was a good man. You know, he healed people and said nice things," and no, he had to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross. But let's read some of this. Verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." We understand he's the great shepherd. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Skipping to verse 5, "And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, you know, the Bible is true, and I believe it. I believe those words. But it saddens me to know that many Christians will sit on the couch and watch all kind of TV and all kind of false teachers, and they can't tell that they're false. Jesus gave his life. Paul, he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He starved. He didn't have a Lexus. He didn't have a Mercedes. He didn't have a Rolls Royce. Now, I can take you right now, if we left church and go before they got out, I can take you, the money cometh. And they got a couple of Rolls Royces out there, one for him and one for his wife. And money does come to him from you if you listen. It's wrong. Most of what's on television is wrong, and it saddens me that Christians can't tell. When it specifically says, my sheep know my voice, and they won't follow someone else. I think we need to get back to the Bible. Turn that thing off and read the Bible. And you want to turn it back on, and they say something, you say, well, yeah, but over here in the Bible it says different. And not, well, I'm going to put the Bible back on the coffee table and listen, but I'm going to turn that thing off and obey the Bible and believe the Bible. It's not about a hundredfold return. It's not. It's not about money. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. Put our trust in Him. And again, it grieves me. And every sincere minister of the gospel, I think, too, is grieved. But he says in verse 7, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. In verse 9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You've got to go through Christ. You've got to enter into heaven through Christ. He is the door. Verse 10, we've heard this taught, I'm sure. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what false doctrine and false religions are about. But Jesus said, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. In verse 11, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then it mentions the hireling fleeing. Guy that's just paid, look, go watch them sheep. The lion and the bear come and he runs away. But David said, David, King David, he testified when he was just 15 or however old it was that he was out there as a shepherd boy. The lion did come and he got a sheep. And the bear did come and he got another sheep. But he said to the man that owned the sheep, here's the lion's head, here's the bear's head. They got a sheep, but I got them. I risked my life to save your sheep. You understand it? He said, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Can't get no better than that. Can't get no better than that. But you know, and I'm going to talk more about this when we get to the table of showbread. He said, I am the bread of life. He said in this passage, I am the door. He said several times, actually, in the book of John, I am this and I am that and what have you. But this word, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. In Greek, it's ego eimi. I guess I pronounced it right. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me. They're going to say, what's his name? I mean, we've been serving God all these centuries and we don't know his name. It's kind of funny. And Moses said, what am I going to tell them? Some God, I don't know his name, sent me. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I want to say, he didn't say I was that I was. God ain't no has been. Or fake it till you make it. I will be that which I will be. He said, I am that I am. And Moses, tell the children of Israel, I am sent thee. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, etc., he's saying, I am sent me. He's saying, I am God. He is confessing divinity. He's claiming to be God. We understand why the Pharisees and etc., they wanted to kill him. How dare he make himself God? Well, he didn't make himself God. He is God. But again, in Greek, and it's all over the book of John, he's testifying of his divinity. Remember, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. One God, but he reveals himself in the Word of God to be three persons. But again, I want to direct your attention to the fact that when the children of Israel stood in their doors of all their little tents and saw Moses go into the door of the tabernacle, God came down. And all the people were watching carefully, looking after Moses. Again, Moses is a type of Jesus Christ, and let's follow his example. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's look to him. Let's follow him. Let's do what he says. And let's tell others about him. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.